you seen Brian? Brian.
Sorry?
Have you seen Brian? I think my mic's on.
He wasn't here. He's on the back channel. Do you need him to
respond? It's just that there's a reader show. No, that's it, right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you all here. Thank you so much for coming. Happy Easter to everyone. And my name is Matthew. I'm the lead pastor here, so I want to welcome you. If you're new here, this may be the first time you've come, maybe you've just started coming. We especially want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. We would love to get to know you a little bit if you're up for that. No pressure at all. Some simple ways to do that, for us to get to know you and you to get to know us a little better. We have some cards. I think actually the cards, they're at these front stations. You can grab one afterwards at the sides or in the lobby area. And they're just little welcome cards. You can fill some information out and we'll follow up with you during the week if you'd like to give us some information. Another really easy way to find out a bit more would be to come to Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes, which we have right after the service in that back corner there. And we'll gladly answer any questions you have and chat with you a little bit about our church. So we just want to make sure that you feel very welcome. Again, there's no pressure about that. But please feel at home. We've got just one announcement this morning, which is great, right? Usually we have more than that, just one today. And that is to let everybody know that next week we're going to be beginning a brand new series. I think we've got some information about that going up on the screen. It's called Mystery and Meaning and the Quest for God. It's going to be a 7 week or so series where we're going to be exploring the nature of God. What is God like? I mean, that we're all on different parts of the spectrum there in terms of maybe we're absolutely convinced there's a God, maybe we're not. If we believe in God, we have different views about what God is like. So we're going to explore that from our own perspective, but also in the sort of historical Christian tradition. So it's going to be a great series. I think you'll really enjoy it, and we'll have material available for that series next week. Okay, so we want as many people to join in with this as possible. If you would like to join a group, because we have group discussions during the weeks for these kinds of series, if you'd like to join a group, there's information about that in your bulletin. Do check that out. Would love to get you connected to a group of people who you can go through that series with. Okay, so that's about it. We're going to start off with a prayer. So, Maddie, you're going to come up and pray with us. So why don't we, especially since it's Easter, for this first prayer, why don't we all stand again, and Maddie's going to lead us in prayer.
Radiant God on this beautiful day, full of wonder and joy, that is resurrection.
Help us feel your presence deep in our souls this morning. May we feel your love have for us.
Help us feel your presence deep in our souls this morning. May we feel your love you have for us. Guide us towards your reconciliation for all things to Easter holds. God in heaven and here with us right now, may your joy become our joy and spill onto other people. Amen.
Okay, you can be seated. Thanks so much, Maddie. That was great. Okay, so what is it we're celebrating today? Anybody want to venture a guess at that? Easter? Resurrection, yeah, it wasn't a trick question. Yeah, so we're celebrating today the fact that Jesus died, and we believe Jesus came back to life. So that's a pretty amazing claim. It's miraculous. It's not something we experience every day, right? But that's right at the heart of our faith, right at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It all kind of revolves around this issue of life coming from death, of hope coming out of despair, of light coming out of darkness. So we're going to celebrate that this morning in lots of different ways. But first of all, we're just going to listen to the story. So I'm going to invite some readers up now who are going to come and read to us from some of the scriptures that talk about and describe what happened when Jesus came back to life. So this is all the stuff that happened after Jesus died. So if you guys want to take your place, do we have any others? So let's listen, and then we're going to explore that story by looking at some different examples and metaphors and ways that might help us understand it a little bit better. But let's listen to the story first.
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After the 3 days, I will rise again.' So give this order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Good job. Let's give these guys a round of applause, because that was brilliantly read. Really well read. Okay, you can sit down now. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Okay, so we hear that story about Jesus coming back to life, and that's a story about something that happened once, but we believe that has eternal impact. It has impact right now, it has impact everywhere and for everyone. Everybody now has been given the gift of new life. We have access to new life. By the way, there's probably going to be a little bit of noise during the service, okay, so that's okay. Don't worry about it. I am going to be so riveting that you won't be distracted. I think it's interesting that we celebrate Easter at this time of the year. We say this pretty much every year. We celebrate Easter at a time of spring where it's obvious that things are coming back to life, right? I just went out on a walk yesterday and took some photos. These are just photos with my little phone. There's nothing fancy about them. But, you know, we can maybe pause on them. Don't rush it. These are my works of art. Okay, so... But these are just like, you know, I look at that and it's as though life is just bursting to break out, right? We see that in the trees at the moment when we're on the verge of spring. It doesn't feel like spring has completely sprung, but, you know, it's as though the whole of creation is sort of pent up with this life that's just waiting to burst out. And that reminds me of this sense of God's goodness and life just bursting out in the resurrection of Jesus. It just couldn't be contained, couldn't be held back. And it's burst out into the whole of the universe. The whole universe resonates with this new life. It's an incredible story. And then we have beautiful flowers that are coming out. I mean, this is just most people would call it a weed. It's growing at the side of a river I was walking by. But it's just opened up to the sun. Something beautiful and life-giving about it. And then what about this one? Has anybody been noticing the bluebirds recently? I think we've got one of the bluebird. Yes, has anybody? Now, I'll be honest. I didn't take that one. I took some, but they didn't really look as good as that. But I tell you, though, the bluebirds I was looking at through my binoculars yesterday looked even more vibrant than that. They're just electric blue. Has anybody been noticing that recently, how the birds are coloring up? I mean, there's a reason for that, right, which we won't go into right now. but they're getting more attractive, right, and brighter. There's something about life in the air, which kind of makes it easier, I think, to believe in resurrection. It makes it easier to believe that things can come back to life. Now, what we're going to do this morning is explore this issue of what happened with Jesus and the death of Jesus and Jesus coming back to life through the metaphor of sheep. And we actually have some sheep. So I'm going to go and open this door here. Okay, guys, you can come in. Oh, hang on. Okay, you guys are ready? Okay, so now, if you kids, if you want to come up to the front here. So if anybody wants to come down to the front to get a closer look, you can come up. Okay, we have these. Okay, just pop them in. Do you want to pull that off? Whoa. Okay. So, right. So, just give them a little bit of a breather for a second, and then we'll get them in there. Okay. So, I'm going to give them a little bit of food there. So, I'd leave those on actually, or they're getting all tangled up. Okay. Well, they. Okay. Okay, so I'm giving them a little bit of food. Wow, there's a lot of people come forward. Okay, so I'm going to stand up here then. So make sure we don't destroy everything. Okay. Okay. So, I tell you what, why don't we all sit down? Can we do that? Because then everybody's going to get a chance to see that way. So we've got three beautiful sheep. These are actually lambs, okay? They're only about 3 or 4 months old, all right? So they've grown pretty quickly already. Very lovely sheep. And sheep were a big part of Jesus' life, right? Jesus grew up in a country, in a culture, where sheep were very, very important to them. Like, how many of you own sheep? Yeah, not too many, right? I mean, some people do, right? Some people do. But it was way more common for people to own sheep or to interact with sheep back in Jesus' time. So lots of occasions in the Bible we read stories about sheep, right? Can anybody tell me a story from the Bible about sheep? You don't tell a whole story, but what's an example of one? We did one recently, yep. The Lord's my shepherd, right? Yes, yeah, so there they are using an example from everyday life. Whereas we might... What do we have in everyday life? We have things like iPhones and... You know, if we wrote the Bible, we would write with a whole load of different stories, right? But back then, these were the kind of the great stories to tell because so people were used to the sheep. Sheep are beautiful creatures, right? Let me ask you a few questions about sheep. Do you know what we call baby sheep? What do we call them? Lambs. Yes, excellent, lambs. What about... now, these are male sheep, okay? What do we call male sheep? Let's have some... Shout it out. No, what's a male sheep called? A ram. Yeah, does anybody know another word for a male sheep? Sometimes they're called tups as well. Okay, what about female sheep? Yes, you got it, ewes. Okay, female sheep are called ewes. But these are boys, these are little guys who are about 3 or 4 months old. Do you know, I think a really interesting thing about sheep is they, do you know how many stomachs they have? How many stomachs do sheep have? Four, correct, yes. Four, can anybody name them, the stomachs? Fred, Jeffrey, no, anybody know what the... Well, we won't get into that then right now, but they have very interesting names, I think, and they do very interesting things. So because they have four stomachs, they eat, like they're eating now, right? And then in a few minutes, but later on when they're resting, probably not right now, they're not going to rest right now, but... They'll bring up the food from the first stomach. Has that ever happened to you by accident? You ever done that? Happens, you know, if I've eaten a bit too much occasionally. But they do it on purpose so they can chew it again and it helps them digest it. So, you know, they don't. So sometimes you'll see a sheep or other animals like sheep just sat there on the grass minding their own business and they're chewing even though they're not eating the grass around them. That's because they're chewing the cud, right? They're chewing something that's come up from their stomach. Anyway, fascinating creatures. So, we were talking, though, that a lot of stories in the Bible are about sheep. Let's think about sheep in light of the story of Jesus, or the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, or let's think about that in light of sheep. So, there's a really great story about sheep that says that we're like sheep, okay? We're compared to sheep. Let's look at that story briefly. So, we're going to look at it on the screen here. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. So, he's telling them a story. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So the religious people were saying to Jesus, "You shouldn't be hanging out with people who do bad things," right? So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. We're not going to do that this morning. And he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that, so this is Jesus, okay? He's saying, I tell you in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, so somebody who does bad things, people like us, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one person like us who repents, who says sorry and changes their mind, than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent, right? So Jesus is saying that we're like sheep, and we're like sheep because we go astray, right? We wander off. And how many of us do wrong things? Yeah? Or put it another way, has anybody here never done anything wrong? Oh, there's somebody there, yeah. You're probably pretty close, but I doubt you've been absolutely perfect. So we all do wrong things. We're mean to people, right? We're selfish. We say hurtful things to other people. So, and the world's full of that, right? The world is full of hatred and violence, and it's full of sheep that are not doing the right thing. It's full of sheep going astray. That seems to be what Jesus is saying. But the point is, there's hope for us, right? And Jesus forgives us and brings us back. And that's the point of that story. Now, that's really, in many respects, the essence of Easter. Because if you think about it, sheep, they're kind of vulnerable, right? Like, when you look at that sheep, you don't think, oh, that looks like a really mean sheep. Do you think that? They look really angry and violent and horrible, right? They just look really cute, don't they? There's something vulnerable about sheep. So this, I think Jesus is saying there's something vulnerable about us, right? It's not always our fault. God's not just blaming us and pointing the finger at us or pointing the finger at the world, but saying, but God understands us. But there's another piece to sheep, which is sheep can be a bit stubborn, right? We found that, like, they've been living in my back garden for a while, and they don't always do what you want them to do, believe me. And here's the other thing I noticed about them. When one of them does something, the other two do the same thing, right? Because they follow each other. And how many times does that happen to us, where we do something that we don't necessarily want to do, but we do it because everybody else is doing it, right? Or because we don't want to stand out, or we want to go with the flow. We want to go with the crowd. So I think we often are like sheep. And so Jesus is saying, at Easter, it's kind of like there's a problem with the world. Like we wander off, things go wrong, we do wrong stuff, right? And that has a lot to do with why Jesus died. Now let's talk about that for a little bit, because there's another way sheep are used in the Easter story. Let's read the next one from John chapter 1. John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, he said this about Jesus. When he saw Jesus coming, he said, right at the beginning of the story, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All right, so Jesus was compared to a lamb. And the reason for that is because in Jesus' culture, and especially in the time before Jesus, people would do things wrong, right? Just like us. And to make amends for that, and the logic here, it gets a little bit squirrely, but to make amends for it, they would kill a sheep, right? That's pretty sad, isn't it, really, when you think about it? Now, people don't really do much of that anymore. But the idea was, we've done stuff wrong, so let's try and pin it on somebody else. Let's blame somebody, and then kind of they'll take the blame for it. Like I said, the logic gets a little squirrely, because if you think about it, that'd be like my kids coming to me when they've done something wrong, say, "Don't worry, Dad, I did something wrong, but I gave the cat a good kicking." And it'll be like, that's not really the point, right? It's not really the point. But it helps to pin the wrong on somebody, right? And there was something kind of good about it in that it meant people had to face the things that they'd done wrong and see what happened to the sheep as a result of that. And it kind of, I think the idea was that hopefully it made you feel sorry. And it was supposed to reconcile you back to God. But you know, I'm not sure that was God's idea really. Because all the way through the Bible, we read scriptures that say things like God saying, I don't want sacrifice. I don't want you to sacrifice sheep. I just want you to be sorry. Or, I don't want you to sacrifice things. I want you to have mercy. In other words, if we go out and we're mean to people and unmerciful, we don't show love to people, and then we think we can make amends for that by sacrificing a sheep, that's missing the point. The point is being kind to people, right? It's being loving. So the sacrifice, it's kind of, it works and it doesn't work, if you know what I mean. But either way, those people recognized that evil things happen, bad things happen that get put on sheep. And so John the Baptist is looking at Jesus, realizing that something of the evil of humanity, all our hatefulness and selfishness, is somehow going to get pinned on Jesus. Now what happens, it seems, is that Jesus takes all that. Now let's look at this next scripture, okay? This is from Isaiah, okay, who was a prophet hundreds of years before Jesus. And he says these things, which we believe he was referring to Jesus when he said them, even though it's hundreds of years before Jesus. He says this, we all like sheep have gone astray, right? Well, we were just talking about that. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Does anybody know what iniquity means? It's a fancy word for bad things, right? Evil, wrong things, hateful things. So it's all that has been put on him. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That's the amazing thing about sheep, is that when they go to be killed, and this is really, really sad, it's like they don't fight or complain. And Jesus was the same way, right? When Jesus was led off to be killed, he didn't fight back. He took everything that humanity could throw at him, all the hateful things, the wicked things, the mean things, violence, everything, and he didn't fight back. He didn't return evil with evil. He didn't return hatred with hatred. He just loved people back. And somehow Jesus took all those wrong things in the world and overcame them because he didn't fight back. And he swallowed them up when he died. But like we were saying, Jesus came back to life. It was like there was so much love, so much good, so much beauty in Jesus. He just exploded back into life 3 days later. Okay? And now we have another story about Jesus of being in charge. Jesus is like a king. Jesus is like a ruler now. And his way of love and peace and kindness is what's reigning in the world. We don't always see it because we have to live it, right? But we'll get onto that in a second. But at the end of the Bible, there's some stories about that describe Jesus, this great, powerful king. And do you know how they describe Jesus? Anybody want to guess? How do they describe him? What do they? Like a lamb, right? So let's look at a couple of those, right? So this is right at the end of the Bible where this guy is having a vision about the end of time, the end of all things. He says, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into the earth." Don't really know what that means, but anyway. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." I think that's it. Okay? Worthy is the lamb. We're going to sing that later on. In other words, Jesus is ruling now, but Jesus isn't ruling like a dictator or a mean guy or a powerful guy. Jesus is ruling like a lamb. Like we're following a ruler who's like a lamb, who's tender and kind and loving. Now, we're going to sort of shift gears slightly here, okay? So we're going to give them a little bit more food. So I'm just going to ask everybody to back up a little bit into that aisle there, and there's a reason why we're going to back up, okay? Because what I need you to do is just go into that aisleway there. I'll explain why in a minute, because we're going to do something a bit dangerous. Nobody's going to die, don't worry. But now, you can sit down. You can sit down in that aisle there. We're going to come back to the sheep in a minute, okay? But So everybody sit down. Now, we're going to look at another scripture here, which talks about, so we've been talking about Jesus, right? What Jesus did. But Jesus called us to live like he did, right? So we're called to live like lambs, at least to some degree. And going back to that prophet Isaiah, he said this, the wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, a little child will lead them. So in other words, in the way of Jesus, it's not about power and being great and successful. It's about being tender and loving and kind and humble. And that prophet is saying that in the reign of Jesus, somehow there's going to be peace and enemies that were sort of at once against one another. Do you have that? Yeah, we're just going to give him a little bit more food here. Enemies that were fighting before and hated each other are going to be at peace with one another. In other words, we're called to love one another, love people who are different from us, accept everybody, and live a life of peace, right? That's what we've been called to do. And we can take that scripture down now. The image that we're given of that is of a lamb lying down with a lion, right? Now, this is the reason I asked you to back up a little bit, because I have a lion in here, right? You didn't realize that. I didn't tell you before because I thought you might be a bit scared about coming up, okay? So has anybody ever handled a lion before? You've handled a lion. When did you do that? At your house. Okay. Is there a law against that? There's got to be a law against that. But anyway, we'll arrest you. So I need you to be really, really quiet. Okay, because he's a little temperamental, the lion. Right? And we're going to do an experiment. We're going to see if the lion can lie with the lamb. Okay? So I just need you to... keep nice and quiet, okay? Keep nice and quiet. Just hold on a second. Okay. Right, don't... Just stay where you are. Oh, gosh. Well, he's been eating. Okay, right, I'm going to try and bring him out. Here he is. Here's the lion. So, he is ferocious. This guy is ferocious. Okay, now, you can come up again. So, I'm going to give... Where's Megan? I'm going to let Megan... Now, let's just do... Okay, let's just do a little experiment here. Look at that, the lion is lying with the lamb. It's a miracle. So if you would, you can, so Megan's going to come and sit here. You can come up now again, because I think he's safe. I think he's safe. But sit down again, okay? Let's all sit down. Now, so let's think about that. Okay, so we've got this beautiful image in Isaiah of lions lying with lambs, or leopards lying with lambs, and wolves lying down with goats. It's a beautiful image of peace and harmony, right? And let's think for a moment about the people that we get on with the least, the people that maybe we're very suspicious of, the people that are very different from us. Okay, if we're following in the way of Jesus, we're going to love those people. We're not going to judge them. We're not going to exclude them. We're going to include them, okay? So let's remember this image of the lion and the lamb. That's how we want to live, right? We want to bring that to the world. We don't want to bring hatred. We don't want to build divisions between people. We want to build loving bridges between people, right? And the only people that can do anything about that are us, right? In other words, me, you. The rest of the world as well, but we have to begin with us. If we love, if we accept, if we take care of others, then we can begin that process, right? So, let's look up at the screens again, because I've got some other pictures here, which I think are pretty nice pictures that show images of, these aren't lions and lambs, but do you normally see cats lying down with birds? But it happens, right? It happens. Let's look at some more of these. There, a cat with a guinea pig. I'm not sure I'd want to be the guinea pig in that situation personally, but I think that's love. okay, owls and cats. You don't see owls and cats hanging out very often, right? So there's something. What we have here is just an image of the power of resurrection, an image of how it's possible to live. Okay, it happens in real life. What else we got? There are a chimp and a tiger, a very, very white tiger. What else have we got? Oh, a fox and an owl. You don't see them together very often. These are real pictures, right? This is real life. It's possible for this to happen. And this is one of my favorites. You might have seen this on Animal Planet, right? The bear, the lion, and the tiger on Facebook, yeah. That's beautiful. There's a beautiful video about that. Really great story. And, what about that one? Would you want to be that deer right now? I mean, how real is resurrection to you? Do you want to test it out that much? Well, there is the peaceable kingdom, right? There's the lion lying with the deer. That's a beautiful image. And I like that one. That's more for comedic value than anything else, but there's the mouse hitching a ride with a toad. So we have these beautiful images that are real. It's possible to live like that, right? It's possible. So I'm going to ask everybody to sit down again. We're going to watch a little video of a story not all that dissimilar from some of the stuff that we've been talking about. So I need everybody to be really quiet. We're going to watch this little story. And I want you, as you're watching this video, I want you to think about who are people in your life, and this is for all of us, who are people in our lives who are very different from us? Who are the people in our lives that maybe we don't get on with very well? Who are the people we find it easiest to judge? Hey, guys, need everybody to be really quiet. Guys, let's be really quiet now. Let's be really quiet because we're gonna listen to a story on the screens. The sheep are all allowed to make noise, but nobody else make any noise. So think about who's very different from you. Who do you find it hard to get on with? Who do you find yourself judging or criticizing? And what does this story say about what's possible in our relationships with those people? So let's be really quiet and watch this video.
Ronan and Emma Lally own a small farm that they run alongside their day jobs. They have a lovely collection of animals, but wanted some ducks to complete the picture. So they got in some fertilized eggs. On the day they hatched, Ronan went to check on them, but couldn't find the ducklings in the barn.
Within seconds of that, a cat jumped down from a pigeonhole within the shed over there, and I kind of put one and one together, and I just presumed that the cat had swallowed up the ducklings.
After searching round the farm, they eventually found the ducklings. But unfortunately, the cat, Della, had got there first.
I ended up catching the cat with a duck in her mouth at this stage, and it really looked, Ronan was like, she's going to kill the duck.
I was thinking, oh no, yeah. We're only after getting them back and now she's going to eat them right in front of us.
Then Emma noticed something unusual.
I was like, Ronan, she's not actually forcefully holding this duck.
That's when the amazing thing happened. We put the cat down, put the ducklings down, and then all of a sudden the three little ducklings waddled straight underneath the cat. The cat lay down on her side, put her paw over one of the ducklings and was kind of nursing the duckling in towards us. So we were, I mean, just absolutely blown away with this. Because normally cats would eat little small birds, but it was awesome. It was just incredible to see it.
She was very content at this stage. She was purring and she was really loving towards the ducklings. When I was petting her down, I noticed that she actually had given birth to three kittens only within an hour or so beforehand.
It was a very lucky coincidence for the ducklings that the cat found them just after giving birth herself. For a narrow window of a couple of hours, mothering hormones will have been coursing through her body, causing her to love and nurture any small, warm, furry creature she found next to her. Before long, the ducklings started to outgrow the kittens and gain their independence, something the cat wasn't so happy with.
These ducks, her yellow kittens, were a lot more active and she found it hard to control them. She was trying to bring them back underneath her and say, now be good like your brothers and sisters.
Several weeks later, the kittens are still small and the ducks, although independent, still have an attachment to their surrogate mum. So it would seem that this rare coincidence of a cat giving birth just as the ducklings were making their first steps into the world resulted in this remarkable situation.
All right, so, yeah, you can give the cat a round of applause. That was... So, now I'm a bit of a sucker for those kind of things, right? But there's something beautiful about that image, right, of in nature... And they was they were talking there about, that happened because of a particular window where the cat found the ducklings. But it's possible, right? Peace is possible. Harmony is possible. And, when the prophets talked about that kind of what was become known as the peaceable kingdom, this life where people love one another and accept one another, where walls are broken down, where life is flowing between one another, that's possible, okay? That's what we're reaching for. It's what we're celebrating, really, at Easter, that life is possible, that life comes out of death, light out of darkness, that love can come out of hatred. But we have to begin that process, right? Now, I've got two more scriptures for us, and then we're going to take a little break, and you can come and look at the sheep and at the kitten, and then we're going to sing some songs together. But the first one is this. Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem. When he was coming to Jerusalem... When he was coming to the time of his life where he knew he was going to die, he looked over Jerusalem and he said, "You who kill the prophets and kill with the stones those God sent to you, many times I wanted to help your people. I wanted to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you did not let me." Right? So when we see that image of the cat and the ducklings, one way of looking at that is to think like the cat's God and we're the ducklings. And we're very different to God, right? But God loves us and wants to just gather us in and accept us and hold us. That's a beautiful image. So we might this morning be feeling, well, I'm out of the bounds of God's love. I don't really deserve that. Or for whatever reason, we just might not feel we're there. Well, the message of Easter is that love is there for every single one of us. Every single one of us. None of us is excluded from that. No matter what we've done, no matter where we come from, we're all included. Now, there's something else about this, though. Maybe we can look at that passage from John, the end of John. Right at the end of the story about Jesus, after Jesus has come back to life, he appears on the beach to his friends, and they're out fishing, and he calls them back, and he cooks them breakfast, and he shares some words with them. And he says this to Peter. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So in other words, when we get into the love of God, when we begin to understand that God loves us, We're compelled to love others. So here's the thing we can take away from today. Not only are we like sheep, we heard about that earlier, not only is Jesus like a sheep, but everybody we meet every day is like a sheep. And Jesus said, "Feed those sheep, feed those lambs." Now, I don't think Jesus means get a bunch of alfalfa and sort of shove it down their mouths or anything like that. I think Jesus is saying, feed them with love and kindness and support, help them in whatever way they need, okay, no matter who they are. So imagine if we just looked at everybody we meet from now on like a vulnerable, sometimes stubborn, sometimes difficult sheep. And we took it on us to love those people as much as we possibly can. That would be a great outcome, I think, to our celebration of Easter. Okay, what we're going to do now is take a little break, 5 minutes or so. Please feel free to get up and move around. You can chat with people next to you. You can come up and look at the sheep. We have the kitten as well. When the music starts, I'm going to take the sheep out, okay? But that's not going to be for a few minutes. We're also going to have some music playing, and then meditation is going to appear on these screens. So you may want to just sit in your seat and look at the photos that appear again and reflect on some of the meditation that you're going to see up there. So let's just take a moment. But please do feel free to get up and move around. There's going to be some noise, so you can kind of choose reflection or conversation.
Who is there at the end of lonesome roads? All of us hope there's a home, place to rest where wounds get dry as the table's full.
We're just going to settle down again now. I just need to take these out first. Yeah. So, in a couple of minutes, we're going to listen to some music. The band are going to play us a song, a reflection on Easter. But if everybody could just take their seat, we're actually going to take the sheep out, because the music will be fairly loud, so I didn't want them to get too disturbed. No comment about the music, by the way, guys. I mean, the music's going to be fantastic, but... So, where's Megs? Okay. Well, Effie, you could get on the door, because we're going to have to...
Okay. Just pick one off.
Yeah, so if you... I'll show you... So if you just guard the entrance, yeah. Where did Megan go?
my shepherd, I have everything I need. He gives me rest in green pastures. He leads me to calm waters. He gives me new strength. For the good of his name, he leads me on paths that are right. Even if I walk through a very dark valley, I will not be afraid, because you are with me. Your rod and your shepherd's staff comfort me.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He calls his own sheep using their names, and he leads them out. They follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me.
The Lord takes care of his flock like his shepherd. His flock like his shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart.
In a moment, we're going to take communion together. We're going to eat a piece of bread and drink some juice to remember Jesus, our good shepherd, who laid down his life for us, his sheep. A good shepherd who knows each of us personally, who calls us all by name to follow him. A good shepherd who invites us to experience the peace and the love and the joy of God. Let's say together the words on the screen. We thank you, Jesus, our good shepherd, for loving us, for feeding us, for giving us your life. As we eat this bread and drink this juice, we celebrate your resurrection victory. Amen. Please come and help yourselves to bread and to juice at the front or at the sides. Everyone is welcome.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are.
There's nothing worth more that can ever come close. Nothing can compare your living hope, your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overwhelmed by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Welcome you to stand and join us for
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what we're celebrating. We thank you for resurrection. We thank you for the life that you give to this world, to this whole universe. Lord, let us soak that in. Let that life, that power of love and kindness and peace, let that course through us and out into the world. Lord, as we go out from this place, may we be ones that look upon others as sheep and look upon ourselves as sheep, that we would see people as lambs who need caring for, who need feeding, who need support and help. Lord, could we also see ourselves that way, that we need you, that we would be vulnerable rather than independent and distant. And God, would you recreate this world where there's hatred, where there's division and judgment and prejudice and violence. Lord, would you, through us, just normal people like us, people who in so many ways don't necessarily even have that much going for us, and yet we're full of this power of life. So Lord, let it flow through us, we pray. May we bring peace and harmony and your goodness in all the world. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks everybody for coming. Thank you for being here. Remember, if you're new or you just want to find out more, Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes is at the back there. We'd love to meet you. Do hang around, introduce yourselves. Have a great rest of the week. The sheep, by the way, are in a pen out at the back here. So if you want to go and look at the sheep, just go out that back door. Don't climb in the pen, all right? Just stay on the outside of the pen. Go in God's grace. Go in God's peace. Thanks be to God. Thanks, everybody. Happy Easter.